Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am speaking with Dr. Gregory Murray, political science chair at Augusta University, a man who, I'm really excited about this, has practical experience as well as the book knowledge. You bring the best of both worlds to the table. And Greg, we were asking, you know, posing this whole question of when incongruence show rears its head. I say that this is what I value when it comes to a political stance, but the position that I take says otherwise. And even if it's only on a subconscious level, I recognize there's some inconsistency going on within me. As a voter, how do people tend to usually react when they realize there's some inconsistency within themselves?
Well, one of the things we know is, and I think all of our listeners out there realize this, nobody wants to be found out that they're wrong. So I think that's one of the reasons that people avoid exploring and researching issues more. Maybe they just don't want to know that they're wrong on an issue. So that's one thing. And I think, and everybody, this makes common sense, I think, to most people on that. I think another issue is that it's hard to really follow those issues because you might take one position, and because of all the interlinking connections between one position and how that translates into other positions, you may end up voting against your self-interest unknowingly, in essence.
Yeah.
When we talked a little bit about healthcare, well, you know, I mean, yeah, you can support one, I don't know, pre-existing conditions possibly, but if a bill also includes cuts in Medicare or Medicaid, well, now wait a minute. Now you got a and you oppose that, right? Now you got a problem. Well, yeah, I got my pre-existing conditions covered, but what about Medicare, Medicaid issues, right? Okay, so I mean, that's another issue completely. I think one of the causes of this is a result of our political structures. I mean, not to get too nerdy, I hate to get too nerdy on this, but it has to do with having a two-party system. I don't know about you, how you are, Carl, but I've never seen a candidate that fits me perfectly on
never.
All the issues, right?
I agree. That's
and
right.
So, but you have to, if you're going to vote, you have to make a choice.
Yes.
And so you pick two, and I hate to get to the point where you're talking about picking the lesser of two evils, but to a degree, that's what we're getting. I know when I vote for one candidate over another, I'm voting for something that I don't probably support at least one of their positions, mm-hmm. but I'm saying, okay, well, I support, you know, more of their positions otherwise.
Right.
So that becomes an issue as well. And I think finally, maybe two more on this. I'm not sure everybody always understands their self-interest. Yeah. It's hard to tell always what your actual self-interest is. Mm-hmm. You know, if I don't know, if I oppose pre-existing conditions now, well, what happens in 5 years from now when I do have a pre-existing condition?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's that issue, too. And then I think one other issue that explains some of this is that I'm not sure people always vote their self-interest, even if they can uncover it. I think that what happens to some people is they just say, it's just not right, whatever that position is, and I just don't support it, whether it would benefit me or not.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of things going on in terms of why people vote against their self-interest or not. And then again, just even going back to what we've talked about before, there's just the pre-programming, right? I'm
yes.
one party, and my party opposes whatever this particular issue is, so I'm gonna end up voting against my self-interest or not. So there's a lot going on there, I think.
It amazes me because, you know, I know I've heard a lot of people say people will always vote their pocketbook. And I've looked at the way people have voted. I've listened to people that have stated their positions. And I think that people have the desire to vote their own pocketbook. But sometimes it seems like if their vote will go a certain way and it will cause more pain for someone else's pocketbook, they're willing to hurt their own pocketbook if it will cause that other person or those other people to hurt even worse and blind themselves to what they're doing to themselves with that very same vote.
Right. Of course. Yes. People will do that. And I mean, we hope that actually to a degree happens some. I think we hope as a country that we think is more than just making economic decisions. There are times that we choose to do things that we don't think are necessarily in our best interest. Yeah. So, I think that's a complicated issue all in all about, you know, in the end, do you really want people voting their self-interest? Do we want, this is very easy, right? Do you want all the folks in West Virginia with all the coal mines? Do you want them to say, oh, yeah, no limits on coal mining, right? Now, that's their self-interest. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's good for the rest of the country. I mean, you can do the same thing in all kinds of industries. Yes. The car industries in Detroit, right? That's well, right. I mean, you know, it's easier for them to make dirty engines and all that sort of stuff. And it's easier and it's more cost-effective for them to do it. And the workers make more money by doing it. You know, all those sorts of issues. Well, okay, do we want them voting that way? Now, some people are going to say, yeah, I don't care. And that's okay. But there are other people who are going to say no. Take those things into account.
Yeah.
And that's why this stuff gets really complicated really quick. You know, you see towns with defense contractors in them that becomes an issue. You know, and you hear them talking all the time about defense systems. You know, some sort of weapon or something that's never been on the field of battle. It's a waste of money. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. Well, but you know, those folks building that thing, it's in their interest to keep building it.
Yes,
you know, you could just go on and on and on with base closings and companies moving. You just go on and on and on. So, you know, it's a fine line we walk when we talk about wanting self-interest voted or not.
And, of course, we know that it is about the vote. We will vote. We either will or will not vote our own self-interest. We will or will not vote other people's interests. Mm-hmm. We're relying on the folks we vote for to make the decisions, whatever those decisions would be, which leads me to my next question. We know that there was a lot of pain that helped people decide who they were going to vote for in this last presidential election. The economy is recovering, not nearly as well as it should be. People are still feeling a lot of pain several years after the recovery. And they let that be heard, and they showed it at the polls. Now, here's my question. When we have a person who's running for office, particularly be the leader of the country, whether it's America, whether it is Russia, whether it is Nigeria, no matter what country it is, they're running for to be the top person in the country. And during their campaign, they mix the message of hope. This is where we can take the nation. But at the exact same time, they add to it a message of hatred and hostility that's supposed to be experienced by fellow citizens at the hands of fellow citizens. So we have the message of hope mixed with the message of hatred and hostility. That person happens to get elected to that top post. When that person is in that position and the message of hope was, I feel your pain. You've been dismissed. You've been ignored. You've been oppressed. You've been trampled on. That's going to happen no longer. When those people get into office and the same one has also been speaking hatred and hostility, not about somebody from outside the country, but encouraging citizens to go against fellow citizens. If that person tends to win that office, do they tend to come through for that oppressed group they said they were going to come through for and turn things around for? Or do they tend to just be one of a long list of others who ignore them?
Right. I think there are some interesting things going on there. One, there was a change in the way campaigns were run probably back in the early to mid 80s. And it went from centrist view, let's try to grab as many voters as we can, and we think they're all in the middle, to an approach where, and you hear this term thrown around a lot, the parties, really, it becomes a turnout battle. So anytime you hear this discussion about it's all about turnout, it's all about, it's all about turnout of your team.
Gotcha.
So if you're a Democrat, you're wanting to send out a message that you think is going to mobilize the most Democrats. The same thing for Republicans. Mm-hmm. So what we end up with, I think, is a situation, and it seems to be pronounced now, and I think our current president doesn't run from it and deny it as much as maybe some of his predecessors did, is that, I'm trying to appease my voters, my people, who are going to get me elected again.
Yeah.
And he would, My suspicion is consciously he knows that he's not trying to represent the typical American. So that's one change that's going on. The other thing that's going on is it depends on what those hopes are you're trying to feed. If your hopes are, and you know, this is what you see, the typical argument made by politicians. If you see that, you know, you feel like your group, your supporters are being given an undue disadvantage to benefit other folks, then your message of hope to your people is actually a message of despair or opposition to the other side. So I think that's a lot of what's going on. Now, what you end up with is a situation where, you know, it's like a lot of like what we see now. The country's divided. This is not Trump. This is not just Trump. I mean, it's easy. We hadn't said him specifically,
right.
But you know, politicians at that level do this mm-hmm. now. This is what they do. Some people are more subtle about it. Are sophisticated about it than he is, but this is really what they do. Because in the end, when we're talking about politics, what we're talking about is the distribution of resources.
Yes, sir.
And in that situation, people are going to win and people are going to lose. And that is just the way it is. So, you know, like I said, maybe in previous presidents have been, I think, more subtle about doing this. But in the end, when you step back and kind of take a cold, hard look at it, that's really what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Our guest, Dr. Greg Murray, and I will be right back. We're talking political behavior. How's your behavior?